Welcome, everybody. Thank you for listening to Tools for Life, the TIN podcast. In this episode, I will be interviewing Rebecca Turcha, physiotherapist and a group lesson instructor at the TUE Sports Center. She is very experienced with the vitality and health of students and is part of the organization of the Vitality Week. Rebecca is here to talk about vitality, mental health, and our habits as students. How do we create good habits and how can we break the bad ones? All info and contacts shared during our conversation can be found in the show notes. Are you ready to come along? Okay, so I am sitting here with Rebecca Turcha. Rebecca, welcome. Thank you for coming to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting.
Could you introduce yourself a bit to the audience?
Yeah, so I'm Rebecca. I'm physiotherapist at the Student Sports Center Eindhoven. And there I give group lessons, physio advice, and I'm also part of the Health and Vitality team.
And that's the team that organizes the Vitality Week.
Yeah, correct.
Could you tell us a little bit about that? What is the Vitality Week?
Yeah, so the Vitality Week, that's a one in every year we organize it. It's from 6th to 10th of March. And it's basically a week that's focused on providing extra activities regarding to health, whether that be physical, mental, and lots of workshops, different group lessons. And it's available to like everyone from the technical university.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when will this week be this year? Because it's annual, right?
Yes. So each year it's going to be a little different, but this time it's from 6th to 10th of March.
Okay.
Basically, the theme revolves around just being reminded of how to follow different healthy patterns, for example, or people who have questions regarding, you know, sleep or eating or sports or even mental health. That's an opportunity for them to come or subscribe for a workshop and get that sort of benefit, get some more extra information regarding that.
Okay, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And what is your role within this Vitality Week?
Yeah, so my main role is I give a CANS workshop. So that's for complaints of arm, neck and shoulder. And that is combined also with the aspect of mental health, so how that ties into it, because a lot of students, a lot of us are getting complaints, whether that be physical but also mental, related to stress, related to study, different deadlines that we have to meet. And yeah, so basically the connection between physical complaints that we develop in connection with stress that we experience in our workspace.
Okay, I'm definitely going to come back to that, because mm-hmm. that's a very interesting subject to talk about, I think. Mm-hmm. But first, could you maybe explain to the people at home what they can expect from the upcoming week? What kind of workshops can they subscribe to?
Yeah, so you can subscribe to workshop regarding nutrition, planning, also different activities like planning your future, time, work management, I already mentioned sleep, right? Yeah. Physical fitness, mental fitness. Yeah, so basically anything revolving around vitality and, your general sense of health. Oh, also, I'm organizing a chair massage. And that's not only at the sports center. That's also throughout the campus. And that's going to be, you can sign up for it, but it's also possible to just stop by, and we're going to have some spots open where you can just stop by, get a massage by our physiotherapy students, and just have a 15-minute kind of relax, cool down, release, and also advice. If you need any advice regarding neck complaints or back complaints, then we're here for you, and we can organize that.
And that advice is then coming from people actually studying the subject. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
So that can be very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So, as you mentioned earlier, like, this is also related to mental health and stress levels. Is it true that a healthy body means a healthy mind?
I believe so. Yeah. Because whatever we consume, for example, I'll give nutrition. They say also, you know, you are what you eat. In a sense of,
yeah.
So basically, whatever is going on in your body is going to have an impact on your mind, and vice versa. If you have a mental state that is down or unmotivated or depressed, it's going to also make us physically more sluggish, a bit more demotivated to do different activities that are going to be physical, that are going to involve us moving our bodies. And yeah, when we move our bodies, that also releases different endorphins in our brain, the good feelings that we also get from other activities that revolve around pleasure. So when we move, exercise, it's also stimulating, feel good hormones in our brain. So I think there's a direct link, yeah.
So that would work both ways. Yeah. Like mental health makes sure that your physical is more healthy, and mm-hmm. physical health makes sure that you're mentally more healthy.
Exactly.
What can students look out for? Because we all know the student diet, of course, getting something cheap at the supermarket or maybe energy drinks to get your deadline going. Mm-hmm. What are the risks of this?
The risks of consuming sugar or fat or...
Or just having an inconsistent diet in that sense.
Right. Well, I'm myself not a nutritionist. We do have nutritionist Yvonne, so she's a good person to ask those sort of specific questions about. I can share my personal experience. I noticed that when I do eat, let's say what we would consider unhealthy, like fast food, McDonald's, KFC, I feel a bit more sluggish, feel a bit more slow, maybe even a bit more down mentally. And that's just because it's taking my body much more energy to be able to digest that, to process it, and it spends more energy there as opposed to energy that I could use moving or thinking of other things other than, ugh, I feel so full or sluggish.
Right. One thing that students could do is maybe look out for habits to build for themselves. Mm-hmm. What kind of habits would you advise students for their vitality?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I think it really comes down to habits and change of behavior, because that's basically step one. We need energy to be able to start with changing our habits, see a potential in order to change it, be able to see, all right, if I adjust my sleeping pattern, for example, in order to give me more energy, and I notice that when I sleep regularly, follow a circadian rhythm, for example, that I'm able to get much more done during the day, then you see a potential and you see a benefit. And when you see that, it's easier to take action. And that's a whole process that's really difficult in like that cycle, but once you're able to continue that cycle and create that into a habit or into a regular behavior of your life, it becomes just second nature.
So you first have to try it out and actually notice for yourself the difference of that habit.
Yeah, or decide for yourself, hey, this is potentially a benefit for me, so I'm going to go ahead and take the steps to change that behavior and see what it brings.
Okay. And how can people try to first notice where they might want to make a change? I mean, that seems like a difficult step to recognize that in yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I think it comes down to also checking in with yourself and listening to your body. If you notice when you get stressed that you get, for example, headaches, then considering, okay, what can be revolved around that headache that would impact that? Whether that be your posture, whether that be the amount that you concentrate without taking breaks, considering those aspects and seeing what you can do in your power, in your control, to change that or alter it.
Okay, so that first starts with noticing where you may want to make that change.
Yeah, knowing where you can make that change and also what's realistic for you.
Are these changes that people can make the same for everyone? Or do you also have to keep into account that everybody has own preferences in what habits to change?
Yeah, everyone's very different. So you have to look at the individual, take into consideration your personal character and what you strive for. Maybe if there's some boundaries or difficulties that you deal with, whether it be mentally, physically, being able to work around that and see what's most realistic for you. Because when we stick to something that's realistic and something that's attainable and manageable long term, it's much easier to make that change and create that change in behavior and make that a habit.
So how do you know what is realistic? I mean, there's probably some division between what you can achieve and what's too ambitious. Mm-hmm. How can you know what is what?
Yeah, that's a good question. And for everyone, that's a bit different. Let me give an example. So during the complaints of arm, neck, and shoulder instructions, I give an example. For example, by research, they say in order to decrease or prevent physical complaints from building up, it's recommended to take every hour a 5-minute break. And when I ask students, all right, who finds that realistic? Not many people raise their hands. And then when we question, why is that? For some people, it's workflow, that you get into the flow. It's hard to take that break. It's going to break your mental flow. Or if there's stressful deadlines, you need to meet some sort of deadline that you don't have as much time. But considering that 5 minutes, it doesn't mean having to, you know, go out, go for a walk, etc. You don't have time for that. It's literally standing up, grabbing a coffee, use the bathroom. Standing up in itself is going to increase your blood pressure, increase that circulation, help with the release of different chemicals that build up in the muscle. So all of that is basically creating a difference. And we have to decide for ourselves, is that something we want to stick to? And we need to see potential in that. If you're having physical complaints, just giving it a try. Every hour, 5-minute break. See for yourself if that works. And you can always modify it if you need to. If you need to stay seated, do a couple stretches when you're seated. Something like that. So I like to give that an example as, all right, is this attainable? Is this achievable?
Like, just set a timer on your phone and try it out.
Yeah, set a timer on your phone or try to say, all right, we'll be dedicated to this for a week. So it's good to give it a deadline. If you think, all right, long term, forever, I'm going to be doing this sort of habit, that might be a bit overwhelming. And that overwhelms a lot of people, demotivates, and then we stop. Or, for example, with patients, start exercising, doing rehab exercises, but eventually it just gets old or too repetitive. So finding versatility in that to keep it interesting for you and keep it motivating for you, I think is really key in changing those behaviors and those habits.
How do you keep yourself motivated to such a cause? I mean, trying something out for a week, that's one thing, but if you look at periods of time that are longer than a week, mm-hmm. then it can get difficult to keep your focus on that change.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips or tricks for that?
Yeah, for sure. So what I've noticed has worked well for me or for others is to change up some things. I give a group lesson, it's called Body Pump, and I really enjoy giving it. It's quite repetitive. You do the same tracks, the same sort of exercises, and after a while, I start getting bored. It becomes repetitive. I also notice on other students, there's only so much that you can keep doing of the same thing. So I found being able to switch it up a bit, whether that be increasing your weight or focusing more on the speed of the exercise rather than the resistance of it, or switching up the music, for example. That can keep us still stimulated or provide enough of a sensory that makes us interested in continuing. If it always gets the same, if we always repeat the same sort of structure, then yeah, it's going to be more likely that we're going to get bored and it's going to be harder to stick to it.
So it's going to be small changes that that can make the difference in that.
Yeah, small changes, variety, being creative, maybe even, adding in some humor, adding in a challenge, for example. A lot of us are competitive, being able to do group challenges. So that would be in relation to training, sports. But let's say if you want to change up a habit, if you want to improve your well-being through getting into some sort of activity that you do regularly, it's really important to consider to keep it interesting for you. So be creative, check out what you need, what you'd be interested in. Nothing's necessarily off limits, especially if this is something for you to do for your overall well-being.
Is it possible to combine setting a habit, which is something that reoccurs, with changing it up every time? How do you combine the two?
A balance between the two. I think it's easier said than done as well. When we do something for a long period of time, whether that be sleeping the same amount of time or going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time, that's gonna have huge benefits on your whole body. In that case, you would also sometimes want to take breaks. So instead of following through and doing it often, let me give an example. Rehabilitation. Some patients really need time to be able to not do the exercises so that they can get back to it later, stronger and more motivated. Same as with training. If you're overtraining, if you're training all year, 7 days a week, it's going to become hard to be able to do that the second year and the year after. Giving yourself time to, for example, instead of hardcore training, going out on walks or doing some sort of hobby that involves you moving your body, that's going to help you stick with it just a bit better and be able to get back even stronger next time.
So you would say that in order to build up a habit, you sometimes have to break it up as well?
Yeah, definitely. Not consistently, but definitely whenever you notice that you're starting to lose focus or motivation, seeing how you can either take a break from it or make it more versatile.
Okay, now let's say that I have noticed that I want to build a habit in some area of my life. And I know how I want to build that habit, but I don't know how to get started. Like, what are the first steps I can take in order to get that habit into place?
Contemplate why that occurred to you. Contemplate why that option came to your mind in the first place. If you think of, oh, I need to start eating more healthy, ask yourself, why do you think you need to start eating more healthy? What is that potential benefit, basically? And I think that's where a lot of people are able to get started, seeing what sort of impact could this potentially have on me in the future, and then seeing that potential, being able to take that action directly. And I think that's a good place to start in asking yourself, what do I need? Why do I think that this could be a benefit for me long term?
So that comes from intrinsic motivation. I also have to ask, of course, can you also be motivated by others, or should you try to motivate others?
Yeah, for sure.
Or should you basically keep that to yourself?
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned intrinsic motivation, because there's definitely an impact between intrinsic and extrinsic. Some people have a higher motivation intrinsically, which means they themselves are the ones who make the first step to change up a behavior, for example. But having groups or social activities where we can connect with each other and have a regular time of meeting up, motivating each other. For example, we get that during group lessons. If you have someone training next to you, everyone's doing the same exercise to the same music. And if you feel like, I want to stop now, I need to take a break. And then you look around you and you see everyone else who is also suffering and also pushing to the end, then you're much less likely to stop, because you see those around you, your external environment, and that's often what keeps us going. We need each other to be able to stick to good habits, I think.
Okay, so intrinsic motivation is one thing, but we also need a bit of others in that picture.
A bit of push, yeah, definitely. Especially if you're a competitive person. I know I'm a competitive person. It really helps to stick with something when I can see progress, or when I can see other people doing it with me. And that helps me just stay focused, for sure.
Okay. And how do you get started if you lack that internal, intrinsic motivation?
Yeah, trying to link up with a friend, finding someone who also has the motivation to do something. For example, when I started learning Dutch, it was pretty difficult to just sit down and look at my book, studying for the stats exam, so the state exams. And I realized it's much more practical for me to go out and make more Dutch friends, because then I'm just going to be naturally pushed to speak Dutch, to learn Dutch, to hear it, and be exposed to it, rather than being not exposed in my room with a book in front of me. So basically pushing yourself to come in contact with people who have what you're looking for.
So you can also just search for the external motivation from the start.
Yeah, also. But I think it does take an intrinsic motivation from the beginning to even have that thought of starting up something new with other people.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. Completely different question.
Yeah.
How would you balance keeping yourself healthy, like fitness-wise and such, with, for example, your studies? I mean, both can be pretty time-consuming. Sure. How could you combine those two worlds together?
For sure. Well, first of all, getting some sort of sports card is a good start. So, getting like some sort of sports card, being able to...
Investing into it already.
Yeah, investing it into it already, that's going to make it easier, more accessible for you to just go and do it. So you're asking about that physical and study-related balance. If you're studying here on campus, on the Technical University, there's the sports center that's literally walking distance away from almost all the buildings. So being able to look at your schedule, for example, going back to time management, seeing when is the periods of the day that I'm going to focus on studying, and when is the periods of the day that I'm going to set out directly to do something physical. And for everyone, that's going to be different. Some people like to train in the morning, others like to train in the evening. Some people are more awake to study in the morning versus in the evening. See what works for you. Stick to it for, let's say, set a deadline of a week or two. And if that's realistic for you, go for it. If you think, this is hard to stick to, switch it up a bit. Try it again.
Okay. So we've talked about building up habits and combining these habits with your studies, but keeping that up can be difficult because of self-sabotage, right? How does that impact the whole picture of this?
Right. Self-sabotage. Now, that's a good one, definitely. My question is, why do we self-sabotage? Why do we start developing a good habit, start noticing good benefits, and then suddenly we say, kind of botch it or sabotage it? And thought about that a few times and had some discussions with various people. And I think it comes down to self-value, self-worth, what you see yourself as, and if you see that it's worth it, sticking to it for yourself. Checking in with yourself and seeing, am I worthy of experiencing and enjoying a better life that works better for me? Or do I step back and go back to the same habits that I see as, good enough for me, or settling for less, or seeing, well, I'm not quite worth that benefit of being able to have that enjoyment, have a better life, so sabotaging it that way. I think it really comes back to how we view ourselves, seeing how much you are worth change and are worth living a better life that works for you, and then sticking to that. Because if we see that value in ourselves, it's easier to stay strong in what we see as beneficial to ourselves.
This might be a bit of a difficult question, but how can we improve this image of ourselves in order to keep up our good habits?
Improve the image of ourselves. Mindfulness. I think everyone should go to therapy. Like, some people more than others, but I think it would be beneficial for everyone to really dive deep into what matters for me, what is valuable to me, where do I see myself, who am I in my eyes rather than in other eyes, and being able to break bad habits in that sense.
Okay. Yeah. So we have talked about starting good habits, but yeah. Now you mentioned breaking bad habits.
Right.
That's also pretty closely linked to the whole
self-sabotage
vitality topic and yeah. also self-sabotage indeed. Mm-hmm. Breaking bad habits. Mm-hmm. How can one recognize their own bad habits?
Well, I can't speak for everyone. I know personally, I'll be honest, breaking different bad habits, I noticed that I had some bad habits going on because I saw it impact multiple areas of my life. For example, I had the habit of smoking weed every evening or almost every evening to have better sleep for the past decade. And that's something that I finally was able to say, you know what, need to change this up, because I saw it affecting other parts of my life, that I started waking up not as clear-headed or felt like it was something that I needed in order to sleep well or in order to not remember dreams or not be fazed by other things that happen when you're sleeping. And I find that so difficult to break, but ever since I started diving more into who am I and what is my value as an individual, what am I worthy of, then I'm able to better see how I am worth the change and I am worth switching up this habit, making it something that I no longer have to struggle with or think about, but that I can move past and find other things that can fill in that habit. And I think it's really freeing, especially when we're able to release that habit, because it means that we have that autonomy over our life. So I feel much more in control of my life, of my well-being, when I'm able to determine and decipher what I need to let go in order to live a better life. And that comes down to the individual. So that's just from my personal experience, but from the talks I've had with many people, it really comes down to, yeah, figuring out where we self-sabotage and why we do that. And it often comes back to how we see ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're also saying that in order to feel more in control, we have to already start breaking these habits down.
Yeah, in order to feel more in control, we need to first see how we are not in control of certain things.
Right. But that's rather difficult, I can imagine, to realize for yourself and then to make that change.
Right. I think a lot of us struggle with various addictions, various habits that we know are impacting our well-being, but we stay to it because we might not see the value in the change, or the change just feels too big and it's overwhelming, because we all have coping mechanisms. And for one person, that can be lots of sports. For another person, that can be drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be that helps us cope with stress, cope with difficulty in our lives. That's something that is, yeah, for sure, hard to let go. But we need to check in with, what are we worthy of? Do we want to live a good life? Do I want to feel happier and in control of my own sleeping, my own patterns, my own dreams, as opposed to having to go to weed to fix that or to cope with it? Is that something that I'm worthy of? And I believe so. So, yeah, I think mental well-being is a huge aspect of everything that we're talking about right now, especially with that's what you guys are focused on, right?
Yeah, TINT, of course.
Organization, yeah. Student well-being. So, yeah, it really comes down to what's going on in the mind and then being able to impact the physical or the practical, the factual things that we are coping with and dealing with every day.
But we will also encounter some barriers there,
for
I
sure.
believe.
Like many.
Along the way, even if we get started, it's difficult to keep pushing on in that sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that needs regular check-ins, regular updates. What's helped me a lot is having someone that I can fully confide in, keeping me accountable as well. Because sometimes it's hard to keep only yourself accountable. That intrinsic motivation, we lose that sometimes. I'll lose that sometimes. So being able to go outside externally, be vulnerable, have someone to report to, in a way, to keep that positive habit going. And also not being too hard on ourselves. I mean, come on. We can be very hard on ourselves, sometimes giving us... Giving a bit of space to be human, to make mistakes. That's also an experience. We just learn from those experiences, whether they be good, but also whether they be bad. So I think it's good to also not get too hard on yourself, but choose what's realistic for you and see how that goes. And I must say, if you stick to it, it's gonna work. Eventually, the more times that we tread down the same path, the easier it gets to continue walking in it. There's not as many leaves blocking the way. There's not as much dirt that you have to walk through. It's something that you consistently follow, that path. And it's easier to stick to. But like you're saying, yeah. So, it's always easier said than done. The beginning is difficult. But it's 100% possible. And long term, it's totally worth it. You're totally worth it. We are totally worth it.
So it's also okay to start over every now and then.
Oh yeah, for sure. Give ourselves that space. Not get too hard on ourselves. Don't punish yourself, but see how you can care for yourself and accept the fact that you're human and that we make mistakes. That's a part of being human and a part of reaching self-care and well-being.
And you mentioned to have this external person in your life. Who can this person be?
Friends, colleague, therapist. Can be a personal coach, for example. Little promotion, Tint also offers personal coaching free, so that's also a possibility on campus. So anyone that you can confine in and that you can feel vulnerable around.
Okay, yeah. And they can help you stay on that track
for sure.
Or retry that track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when it comes down to addictions, that's not something that you just quickly, easily break. That takes time, dedication, consistency, failure, back on track, maybe another failure, back on track.
Right,
so
yes.
It's a whole process.
So there's a lot of things that you have to keep into consideration, of course.
Yeah.
I think we're going to round up the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some final remarks for the people or some final advice, something you want to share that I haven't asked you about?
I'm thinking, what do I want to share with those of you guys who are listening to this podcast? And what I do want to share is to take care of yourself. I think when we prioritize ourselves, it's going to be way more realistic to be able to change up our habits and our needs. Instead of looking outside of ourselves to other people's needs, especially if you're a people pleaser, for example, and you put all that energy into others and getting your self-worth or your self-value through others, being able to kind of switch that and flip it around and look at caring for yourself and seeing your own worth and being enough as you are. And that's going to make it much easier long term, having that sort of perspective about yourself. And you are totally worth it. Totally worth the change. 100%.
Seems like that's going to get some intrinsic motivation going for people as well.
I sure hope so. Yeah. That's definitely a hope from this podcast. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Vitality Week is coming up.
Come along with a friend. See who else is interested in your environment, with colleagues, with students, whatever it may be. Come by, check it up on the website. You can see the list of different workshops and instructions that we're giving. See what's offered, see what catches your eye, and if it helps, just go with someone. Yeah.
which shall we put in the website in the show notes, of course.
Yes,
so awesome. You can look it up for yourself.
Great.
Where can you sign up?
Where can you sign up? Via the website.
Perfect.
Yes.
So I think we have all the information we need now.
Yeah, hope to see many people very soon. And yeah, hope that this was inspiring.
I think it was. Yeah. At least to me it was.
Take something from it. Yeah, that's the goal.
Thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tools for Life, the TIN Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the TIN Podcast and find more information about what TIN is up to on our website, tint-eindhoven.nl, or by following us on Facebook and Instagram. Please feel free to join the upcoming Vitality Week. The website will be linked in the show notes. Here you can also find the link to the new well-being website of the TOE, so be sure to check that out. My name is Casper de Bruin, and I look forward to having you with us for the next episode.